Blog Talk Radio.
This is Monday night. Wait, hold on. No way. You promised. You promised. No.
Who's that? I know I heard something. If I come up here, I know you will. Will you say what my child do? Help me, I need some help. Help me. Oh my God, I heard that. What are you doing?
Don't do that.
I'm so scared. Help me.
I love that intro music. I love both intro music. How you doing, man? How's everything, Sana Gordy? How you doing tonight?
Not bad, man. Not bad, but this is it. It's the spooky blue hour. I don't believe it.
I'm waiting all week for the spooky blue hour. I appreciate that.
Wait, but is it true, the rumors? That they're, you got something scary. No, let me change that word. I've been using that word too often in this show. Something creepy will be joining you tonight. What is that?
Speechless. I don't know. You tell me.
It's creepy Steph.
Creepy Steph.
Terrible
alley-oop. Jeez, what's going on, man?
Oh, my God.
Hey, guys.
Oh, my God. It's so funny. Creepy stuff. Meanwhile, it's the total opposite. She is spooky as hell, I'll tell you that much. But go ahead, senor. This is Sana Gordy.
Who said I'm spooky? Halfway.
Well, I tell you know what I'm going to do is, hold on a second. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to open up the chat room. Let's see if it works
nice.
Here. Sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, you know what? I'll say this real quick. Definitely.
Chat room is about to open. Okay, the
definitely.
Chat room is open. Everyone's to chat. Yeah.
Definitely. Anybody want to chat, go to Facebook and go send some messages. If you want to call in, more than welcome at 515-602-9792. Anyone with questions or anything, if you're scared, you don't want to call, that's okay. Go to the chat. You know, we don't bite. We might, but who cares? Just call.
Yeah,
don't be scared.
Yeah, last week, someone chatted last week within the Caribbean Indigenous Hour, study hour, and it was kind of cool answering questions, you know. But let's see here. So the chat is open. So what's the topic
very nice,
today?
Very nice.
Spooky Lou?
Well, first you were saying that, didn't you say there were some new countries that were joining us, or there were some people that were joining us from...
Let me tell you, this is roll call, since it's Monday. You're going to start out this beautiful lineup. We're working 6 days a week. Here we go. You ready for this? First,
I'm ready.
Okay,
I'm curious.
I shouldn't say first. I'm going in alphabetical order. I don't want to discriminate against any country who's supporting Taino Radio. We have Argentina. We have Australia. We have Canada. We have Dominican Republic. We have, okay, where are you? I'm looking for you. Puerto Rico. Wait a minute, no. Wait, where are you? Where's number five? It just disappeared. All right, now see, it's taking over the controls. All right, we got Puerto Rico. Now we got yeah, this is screwy. Hold on. Okay, I messed up the order. Sorry about that. So I got India. I got Ireland. Italy is always with us. Italy. And number nine, where are you? Jamaica. Hi, Micah. There you go. Number 10, we got Japan. We got Mexico. We got Morocco. They've been here with since day one. Morocco. Norway. Turtle Island, United States. Oh, hold on a second. Portugal. United Kingdom. Okay. Did I say Finland? Yep, Finland's
nope,
in the house. I skipped them. Yep, I skipped Finland.
Finlandia.
Hold on a second. United Kingdom, I say, oh, Germany. How can I forget Germany? Did I say Germany before? Germany.
Not
and guess what, guys? We got a new country. It came last week. New Zealand, the Maori people. New Zealand's in the house. How about that one?
Maori, cool people.
Yeah.
Cool people.
Yeah, the Maori all the way down under. And, of course, how can I forget this country? I personally want to meet the Tainos who live in Russia. That's what it is. In Russia. That is
really? Awesome. Russia?
Russia. Yep.
Wow. That's
now, we
cool.
lost Colombia, so all you Colombians that have been listening, we want you back. We lost Colombia, one of our homelands. So we need Colombia back. We need all the South
Americans.
Yeah, definitely. I know they're having some hard time in Venezuela and all that. So let's just keep on our prayers. Yeah, man.
Absolutely,
so,
absolutely.
Mhm. Mhm. There we are. So.
Wow. Well.
Yeah. So take it away, Lou.
Just want to thank everyone that takes the time to definitely join us and talk to us. We know everyone has a busy life, right? Come home, kick back, have a beer, just relax, chill, you know, and spend some time with us. So we really do appreciate that. So today's topic is going to be about hell. Do you believe in hell? That just sounds crazy, right? Do you believe in hell? You know, it's a loaded topic. It's been around for, I mean, since the beginning of mankind, I'm sure, just in many different ways it's been explained. You know, of course, it's the most common known as of today, right? Probably because of the church, as hell. But do you believe in hell? So,
Hey, I have some questions for you.
Sorry, my apologies. But, so is that correct, what I just said? Does the terminology hell come from the church?
Well, the church got it from the Hebrew ancestors, the Judaic Christian understanding of hell still dominates what we know, what people learn in churches and stuff. Judaic Christian, but has its roots in definitely in Hebrew mythology or Hebrew. Well, I shouldn't say mythology, in Hebrew religion, you know. And
okay,
the Christians adopted it, you know, in the first century. They adopted that whole concept of hell when they started writing the stories in the Christian scriptures. The very, 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 very first Christians were Jewish. So it made sense for them to adopt. And especially they try to prove to the new members about this Jesus, you know, who was the ultimate liberator against evil, you know. So you have a lot of that you know, good versus evil. That's where that comes from, good versus evil. And Jesus was that that savior, you know, he saved us from the fires of hell. You know, a lot of Christians don't know this, but basically when Jesus died on the cross, that was it. That was the victory. When he rose, he defeated death, right? In the Catholic tradition, check this out, Lou. In the Catholic tradition and a lot of Orthodox Christian churches, they believe that Jesus, on Holy Saturday, he went to hell. And the reason why he went to hell, since Jesus didn't exist before he was born, right? A lot of people didn't know, as what the Christians will say, they didn't know the truth about God, about Jesus. So what happened was he went to hell looking for those lost souls. He also went to limbo looking for those souls that were suffering, you know? That was holy. So Good Friday, he gets killed. Holy Saturday, his spirit goes to hell and looks for all those lost souls. And then on Sunday is the Easter Sunday, resurrection. But it's all rooted in that Hebrew notion of hell, you know, of the evil coming to get you. And how evil.
So
yes,
No, continue.
No, it's the whole hierarchy of angels, you know. Now, Satan was the fallen angel. So Jesus is seen as the ultimate savior, you know, the world. Wasn't like St. Michael, wasn't St. Raphael. It was Jesus. You know? So it's like that ultimate battle between good and evil. Jesus on one side, Satan on the other, the fallen angel. And Jesus came to save everything. So that's just a nutshell right there. So this is where
that's pretty deep. So he says the concept of hell, but I have a few questions because I don't remember hearing it. I probably learned it, but I've forgotten. It's been so many years. But one of the first mentions of hell, I mean, does it predate and like the Bible and the Torah? Is there any mention of anything similar to hell, like from the Egyptians, or what's the other? Oh, I'm drawing a blank as usual, which is the same. Or any mention from like any civilization that predates the Egyptians about any mentions of hell?
Oh man, now you're bringing me back to studies in the Old Testament or Hebrew scriptures. You know, there were a lot of traditions, which just wasn't in Hebrews. There was a lot of those, the ancient world out of the Mideast. They had all these stories of God, you know. Also, you know, the whole sense of, you know, the problem of evil and so on. So it was just rampant. But the popular idea of hell was definitely developed by theologians through the centuries. And I don't know, it's just... I'm just trying to think now offhand. The very first mention. I know the Hebrews, also the Greeks use words for hell. You know? I know in the Hebrew scriptures, Sheol, S-H-E-O-L, relates to a hell. You know, in the Christian scripture, there's Jesus mentioning about Gehenna. And where, you know,
I heard of that.
Where do bad people... Yeah, where do bad people go? Where are the, you know, people who are unjust, who are not righteous? Where do they go? And you mentioned about Gehenna, a place of punishment. But when you translate the word Gehenna, right? Gehenna from the Greek is basically a garbage dump. So basically, when you look at the script, the biblical study, Jesus is referring to a garbage dump. Wasn't really a hell place. Yeah, man.
You're a garbage person. See, you belong in a garbage dump. I love it. Sounds like a lot of people.
So what happened? It was a physical location, Gehenna. It was outside the city walls, and they burned garbage. They burned garbage, and also lepers were outcasts from society. Mm-hmm.
So hold on, Liz. They would pretty much say that. If so pretty much anyone that belongs in hell, they'll pretty much say you belong in a garbage dump. Get the hell out. When you die, that's where you're gonna go. The dump.
Well,
the city dump.
Well, let's take it at a deeper level, ready? as if we see Jesus as a good person, as a liberator, he's saying anything that is negative in your life that causes you to sin or causes you to do wrong, you have to get rid of it. And where do you put it? You put it in a Gehenna, burn it. You don't need it. You don't want it. So it's, he didn't mean like a physical, like we're gonna, you're gonna burn. What he was referring to is those things that are holding you down as a person, as a good person, you know? You burn it, get rid of it, purify. In our circles, we say purify, you know, in indigenous circles. So Jesus was using different language, but pretty much the same thing, you know? So it really wasn't a place. So a lot of fundamentally Christians will say that, oh, that was hell, that's hell. But nah, not really.
So there's no mention of anything back, like, for example, in the Sumerian culture and their texts or anything dating that far back as to any mention of hell. By any chance, do you know?
Well, like I said, the Hebrews were contemporary of them, and, you know, they mentioned Sheol, a place below the ground. You can find that in Ezekiel.
So that's the earliest.
A place of darkness.
So that's pretty much the earliest dating that far back of the first mention of hell, right? That we kind of think of. We know. Okay. That's pretty deep. And then,
like, what the date of that would be?
Do you know? I was curious about that, too. Yes.
Jeez, I got to get to my biblical studies notes. I don't have those anymore.
Do you know what it would be?
It was at least 5,000 years ago, because that's when the Hebrew scriptures were written. 5,000 years.
So, were the Hebrew scriptures written before or after Zoroastrianism? These Zoroastrianists wrote the Buena Vista.
Well, hold on a second.
Explain who they are.
Wait, hold on. Let me correct that. It wasn't 5,000 years, because it was the birth of the Jewish nation was 5,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget the other numbers.
And Buena Vista, my bad.
Years. Yeah.
So you said close to 6,000 years?
So by the 3rd and 2nd century B.C., around there, the whole idea of a separation of separate division between the righteous and the wicked. So this was written around 3rd to 2nd century B.C. It's a long time ago.
So yeah, very long time ago. So now, with that said, in the scriptures, right, I just want to talk about a little bit of this, right? Fast forward, Jesus is born. I never knew that. So Jesus acts in the scriptures. It says that he actually visited hell to save souls that were in hell and purgatory.
That's Christian thought, especially Catholic thought. In the sense of that Jesus, the people before Jesus didn't have the opportunity to know Jesus. So they were like lost souls, you know, like lost, suffering from the love of God, you know. So after the Holy Saturday, Jesus goes look for those souls, you know, that were lost or not living in the light. So
he's giving these people in the past an opportunity to also believe in him and God too, so they can be saved, so they won't go to hell.
Exactly.
Because of the concept of hell.
Exactly.
But now moving forward in this day and age of technology and, you know, religion, there's a sort of a slight balance, right? So the question is, do you believe in hell? Do you think that there really is a place that when you die, you know, and let's talk about the native culture. Is there any mention of when you die that you end up going to hell?
Well, I know I hear a lot about reincarnation or returning, you know, not being permitted to enter the spiritual world until you maybe correct some wrongs, until you understand the full lessons that you needed to learn, you go back, you know. I've heard those traditions.
So indirectly, if you follow those traditions, what they're saying is this is kind of hell until you get to that spirit world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if it's hell as a separate. No, because hell, I mean, traditionally hell is seen as a dark place, a place of wicked people, you know. In the native sense, it's more
okay.
like, you know, oh, you didn't complete your lessons, you have to go back, you know, in some of the traditions, you know.
Like Hinduism,
yeah, I wish
they
I had
believe
my,
in the same thing.
Was that?
Hinduism, right? They believe in the same thing, right? Pretty much. You keep coming back until you learn your lesson.
Oh, yeah,
and then you go,
right?
And then you go to Nirvana after that, right? They don't really believe in
yeah.
a hell. It's pretty amazing how certain cultures believe in hell, and then religions, I should say, right? And certain religions believe in hell, and certain cultures do not believe in hell. But how do you explain this, then? How do you explain all those people that say that they've died and they've actually visited hell? I'm sure you heard of stories like that. As a matter of fact, you work with a lot of people, or you have worked with a lot of people that were dying. Have you ever came across
mm-hmm.
anyone that told you that they died and come back and they saw hell?
I've never heard that at hell. I mean, I've heard people say that they saw demons, or they saw people. They saw
Explain.
Like people suffering, but not like a
Explain
demon
the story.
Or suffer, but more.
So explain
well,
the story.
See,
of what,
I remember,
what,
wow, way back when I was, hello? Yeah, when
I'm
I was a Franciscan, I remember hearing people talk about their dreams and stuff. That's one thing. People always want an interpretation of their dreams. And especially when I found in the community I was living in, and it was in New Jersey, East Orange. And basically, you know, a lot of Latino, African-American. And they always wanted their dreams interpreted, you know. And I did hear a lot about Satan, demons. Not Satan itself, but demons in their dreams. How they seen these demons make people suffer, you know, and, you know, through fire or through torture, and they would be tormented by these dreams. But I never came across someone actually said they saw Satan. Maybe some teenagers here and there after messing with the Ouija board, but never like straight up like I saw Lucifer, I went to hell. But maybe they saw segments of it.
That's what I mean. Like I'm talking about near death experience, not somebody walking down the street, get home middle
oh,
of the
no.
night to see some demon in their house.
Just
I'm talking about a near death experience, or people that have died and you know they come back with their near death experience. And there's a lot of people out there that claim that they have visited hell. And, I mean, I've heard of stories of one guy, he said that he died, and when he dies, he claims he saw, like, a lot of famous people, stars, you know, and people suffering and people just screaming in pain. And he was in a corner, and these demons were, like, just really these giant, grotesque-smelling, you know, beings and that were torturing people and you know in his dream and
oh,
he
damn.
Says when he died he said that yeah I've heard oh there's a lot of stories if you look up of people that visited hell and it's vivid for them and you know I remember in that particular story he says out of nowhere he suffered you know and then a light came and it was Jesus that came from heaven to save him and gave him a chance and he came back to life
oh,
and he turned his life around. Yeah, there's a lot of stories of people who have died, and they said that they have actually witnessed, you know, or they believe, they're convinced 100% that there is a hell. Because people say it's metaphysical, or it's just, you know, it's not real, it's just a term, it's not reality, it's just something that the church has created for us to believe for control or to be scared, but there's actual people out there that claim that they have visited hell. What about you, Spooky, Creepy Steph? Have you come across anything like that? Have you heard any stories that you can share about hell or the belief in hell? Do you believe
wait,
in hell?
Wait, Lou, before you ask, I'm sorry, Creepy.
¿Qué pasa?
Osiris. I remember when I was working at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, Osiris
okay.
was the god of the underworld, you know, the god of the dead.
Correct.
You know? So there you go. There's that influence of the Egyptian once again. So it's all connected in the ancient world, you know.
You're right. Osiris,
right? Osiris. I remember his image all the time. The Book of the Dead and so on, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. Oh, go ahead.
Well, the
I'm sorry, creepy.
No, that's fine. But the concept of hell has a really long history because, like Sanakori has said, Judaism has always included some form of information, you know, Christianity also, but Zoroastrianism also had it as well. And I guess for the people who don't know what Zoroastrianism is, it was one of the first monolithic religions, I believe it is. They originally dated it back to 6000 BC, but they, through archaeological finds, are starting to put claim to it being between 1500 BC and I think 3000 BC for when it originally originated. And in their book, they actually reference hell pretty interestingly. Like, they call it gruesome. They call it like a place where a river is man-made and, you know, man sheds tears, and their tears flow and people are punished for like going and doing evil deeds when, you know, they were alive. So the book is called the Avesta. That's their religious text. So the concept has been around forever. The same thing with the idea of Islam. Islam also has good and bad. And, you know, Christianity has good and bad. That all mirrors off of Zoroastrianism as well. So the concept is there. Whether or not I believe in a fiery pit of area called hell, I don't know. I am more so one of those people who do believe in reincarnation. I do feel that we do come back until we fulfill our purpose. And once our purpose is fulfilled, then we, you know, remain in a realm where the ancestors can be accessed. And then we're just ancestors providing, you know, spiritual guidance and knowledge. And I do feel like that reincarnation ends up giving us either hell or heaven, but on earth. So, you know, how there are some people who really just can't catch a break. They go through literally what we consider to be like the pits of hell on earth. I think that karmically, that's what they receive. That's their hell. I do believe in purgatory, though. I do believe that purgatory is a place in the in-between that allows souls to remain and wander kind of nomadically when they don't understand their purpose. So they stay in purgatory until they can figure out what it is that they have to do, or they come to terms with exactly what's going on for them as a soul. But as far as, you know, round realm of fire and brimstone and this little devil character that helps demons torture souls for people doing miserable and terrible stuff, not really. I have heard of people say that they've seen the devil, right? But whenever I've questioned them about it, the response that I receive is this typical idea of
Hold on. You just said that people tell you that they've seen the devil?
Yeah.
What do you mean people? Come on, you can't just say, oh, people tell me I've seen the devil. I just say, yeah, I see people down the block every once in a while from, you know? Like, come on. You got to break this down. What do you mean people tell you they see the devil? At
right.
McDonald's?
So,
I mean, come on.
You know me, creepy, right? All right. So I have conversations with people. I've known a few people that have gone through some traumatic experiences, and some of them happen to be really shitty people.
When you say traumatic,
so,
what kind of traumatic experiences? Like an accident?
Well, I had a friend that died. Yeah, essentially, I had a friend that died. They were DOA when an ambulance had came to grab them from the scene of an accident. And the way that they described it, you know how when people describe going to heaven when they die, meeting God or meeting the angels, and they talk to them and they make this whole pleasant thing, and then this bright light comes, and then next thing you know, they're opening up their eyes and they're alive again.
Yeah.
Literally the exact opposite of that is what this person had explained to me. So they were, I have a very colorful cast of people that I've associated with throughout my life. I'll leave it like that. So this person in particular, I used to drag race. Fun fact.
Okay.
So I used to drag race cars, and we decided that we were going to drag race one night with this group of people that we've never raced with before. The car that they were in ended up,
That's creepy.
What, drag racing? Drag racing is fun.
That scared me, Lou. Don't be doing that.
So the car smashed into this side ramp, and basically dude was he got everything knocked out of him. Like, the wind was completely knocked out of him, but he had a head trauma that put him out. Like, the impact was so hard that he coded, essentially. So the ambulance came, and they threw him on the gurney, and we were rushing through, I think it was Jersey. And, you know, we're chilling inside the hospital room waiting for him to wake up. And when he woke up, he was just like, yo, I can't die, because if I die, I'm going to hell. And we're just like, all right, nice to see you too. How are you feeling? You know, because if that's the first thing that you say when you wake up, we thought he was just delirious. Apoy.
Well, what did he say? What did he say as soon as he saw you?
He said, I can't die, because if I die, I'm going to go to hell.
Wow. So he woke up frightened.
He woke up
about death now.
Right.
Okay.
So we're just, you know, we wrote it off like, yo, you're still delirious, essentially. So a few days passed, and then he's just like, listen, I really want to talk to you about what happened. I really want to get right with God. And this wasn't a person that was into religion. So for him to say something like that is just like, all right, hold on, let me sit down and let me listen to what you got to say, because you sound ridiculous right now. Well, we sat down and we had a conversation, and what he explained was, when I had the impact, right? He said that.
And when you explain it, please be as exactly as what he said if you can, okay? Because I'm really curious, you know, to the description that he gave you. Okay, perfect.
So what he said was, when he had the impact, when the impact happened, it was a bright light. But after the bright light, it was like he was opening his eyes. So if you've ever closed your eyes and a bright light has shone, like shined on your eyeballs, right, while it's closed, and then you open up, it's a little blinding, and then it starts to like clear up. That's what he explained that it looked like. It was this bright light, and then he was able to open his eyes and he was able to see. But what he saw was a scene in his life where he was witnessing something that had already happened. So he had this traumatic experience when he was younger, and he had witnessed somebody that he had cared about being murdered. And there was nothing that he could do about watching the murder. So he sat there and watched the person get killed. And allegedly, what he says is that's one of the most frightening things that he's ever had to deal with, because he was, you know, he felt powerless. He felt scared. He felt infuriated. All of these emotions and feelings, you know, that are expected at that point. But he said that that was the first thing that he saw. And then it, you know, the whole scene played out like it did when it happened, he was left in the room by himself with the body and whatever, exactly how it happened in real life. And then it happened again. The murder started all over again. And it was just this infinite loop of him experiencing all these raw emotions nonstop, piece by piece by piece by piece. And every single time, it was those emotions all over again, amplified. So every time it replayed, he felt it more and he felt it more and he felt it more and he felt it more until he physically woke up. And that's when he was just like, you know, he woke up and he said, yo, if I die, I can't die, because if I die, I know I'm going to hell. That's how he claimed his hell was, that he was in this infinite loop of one of the most traumatic things that he's ever had to experience. And that he thought that was what hell was. So,
that,
you know, we took that in.
Really messed up. Yeah, that
right.
Sounds messed up. Imagine having to see the worst thing that you experience in your life over and over and over, and you can't have no control of the situation and of being stuck in an infinite loop. That's freaking horrible. Good. I'm sorry.
So that's what he said he felt. And then he said for the next few days after he experienced that, there was a guy that he would see in, like, his peripheral. And every time he would turn around, the guy wouldn't be there. But then on the opposite side of his peripheral, the guy would be there. So he was just like, when I finally got the first good look at the person, it was a Caucasian male with brown hair and brown eyes, right? But he has a sinister look on his face that when you look at him, it makes you feel just afraid. And the first time that I was able to see his face, like, head on, face to face, was only through a mirror. The only time I could see it for the first, I think he said 6 days, a mirror. Any other time, it was only through the peripheral, and nobody else said that they could see this person. And he claimed that he thought that that was the devil letting him know that he was there and that he's, you know, he has dominion over him. So he was adamant about, I want to find religion, I want to find God, and I want to save myself. But, yeah, that's one of the only experiences that I have with somebody telling me that they've seen the devil. But it was never a picture of what we hear in like media. It was a guy, like he said, a Caucasian male that had brown hair and brown eyes. And then he just makes you feel uneasy when you look at him, scared when you look at him innately, you know, for no rhyme or reason. So I don't know.
That's an interesting, you know, description and concept of what he brought about, you know, what hell was to him. And I mean, that's just as frightening as any other story I've heard of people that claim that they have visited hell. You know, it's not as torment. It's a different kind of torment. It's a different kind of hell, you know, versus being stuck in a place and being burned, you know, by a lake of fire or these demons that are constantly raping you and ripping you apart, and then, you know, you waking up being put back together. But it's almost the same. It's like you're reliving this torment. I don't know if you ever heard about the scientists out in Russia when they were digging a hole. Did you guys ever hear about this story?
I've heard a few scientists dig some holes, so can you give me a little more information here?
Well, obviously you haven't heard about this because you wouldn't know what I was talking about. Because so there was a guy. I don't know if he's a scientist or what. I remember hearing this story like maybe a good 10 years ago. I tried to look it up, get more information. I knew more about it when I first heard about it. The most I could find is this. I think the guy's name was a scientist or someone named Mr. Azakov, right, in Siberia. They were drilling a hole. These scientists, I forgot for what reason. They were able to get deep. I think it was about maybe like 10 miles deep. into the ground, and something happened. I can't remember why they stopped. So I don't know if they had their equipment failed or what. So they lowered a microphone to see and to see if they can get, you know, they can hear what's down there or what's going on, because I don't believe that we've dug that deep before. And supposedly when the microphone went down there, they actually heard the sounds of hell. Like there's a recording out there. I've heard it before, and it sounds freaky as hell. And all you hear is like men, women, and like just all these moaning and torment of like just gruesome. Like, yeah, if you close your eyes and you hear men and women just screaming and yelling all at the same time in unison, like almost like zombie movies when you hear, oh, but they're in pain, like, help, it is like one of the most disturbing sounds I've ever heard. Have you guys ever heard of this story? Or have you heard of this?
No. I've never, ever heard of that. No, I'm going to end up YouTubing it later, because what else do I have to do at, you know, 11 o'clock at night, right?
But,
what?
Or you can go to Spooky Lou's Paranormal. I posted it there so you can check it out. It was on Yahoo News that one. Shameless time. Yeah, so if anybody wants to hear the recording of the sounds of hell, you can go to Spooky Lou's Paranormal. It's posted there. I'll post it in Unknown New Mexico as well. But, yeah, I should post it on Taito Radio,
group,
too.
Guys, so make sure if you're going on Facebook to find these pages.
Thank you. Appreciate the clarification. But yeah, it had me praying. When I heard that, I was
Did
like,
you say it had you praying?
God. It had me praying. I was like, God,
I've been lethal.
I love you, God. You know, I'm sorry. Sorry for eating all that pizza. I'm gonna do my best in life, because I don't I want to be one of those people out there screaming and yelling. But
it really scared me.
I'm not even lying.
Maybe I shouldn't listen to this before I go to sleep then.
No, I don't think you should. I'll be honest. I don't think you should. The good news is they're saying it's a hoax. But it's like everything else, right? When it's a UFO, oh, it's just a weather balloon. Is it really a hoax?
Right.
I don't know. We don't know. I never drilled a hole, you know, 10 miles deep. Maybe we should try it one day and see what happens. But they did, and apparently they recorded the sounds of hell. So, yeah, I recommend you listen to it. So it's definitely interesting to hear. You may not want to listen to it right before bed, but it's scary. It's very scary. And for those who listen to it, and go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Again.
Go ahead. What were you
going to
say? Oh, I was going to say, for those that do take the chance to listen to that recording, if you want to feel better, there's another recording of a guy who was singing, I think, at a church. And once again, this person, while they were singing, I think there was a small chorus or there was a group. Out of nowhere, when they recorded the song, and when they listened to the song, they replayed it, they claimed that there were the sounds of angels singing with this group. I'll have to find it and post it as well. It's also another story I haven't heard from. I mean, I forgot. It's been years. I'm going to find it and post it. So this way, you can listen to the sounds of hell, but if it scares you that badly, you can turn and listen to the sounds of heaven. It may help you.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if you guys ever heard it. What happened?
No, I've never heard that either, Beto. I mean,
I've heard both.
At least if you're going to give us hell, it's nice of you to give us heaven. That's very kind of you, Lou.
Listen, I was scared. I was literally praying that night, like, God, forgive me.
I've been lethal.
I won't watch that stuff on TV anymore or on my computer. You know what I'm talking about? No, I'm kidding. Go ahead, Lou. What are you going to say?
I said, Dios mío. You're going to have me praying.
And that's a good thing. Lou, were you saying something?
No, man, the,
maybe
the,
not.
The, Yeah, he should actually.
You're breaking up.
Sanakota, you sound like a robot.
Can you hear me?
Sound like you're trying to rap. Now
I even people. He's trying to rap. Mumble rap.
Demonic.
He was like, I'm trying to scratch lies, baby guys.
Yeah, Sanakori's the next Dougie Fresh.
No, I got
Sanakori Fresh.
Demonic in my phone.
He's the Sanakori Fresh.
PJ Sanakori Fresh. Continue.
Yo, I think my phone's possessed.
There you go. Now we can hear you.
Oh, I think my phone was possessed for a minute. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Sanakori Fresh.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Okay, check it out, man. Yeah, I have a friend who's actually Catholic, Raul Mato. He doesn't want to call in, but he wrote me on Messenger. He did it last week,
okay.
too. He knows a lot but about Taino history as well. Raul Mato, but check it out, man. Just send me a link. I want to share the link with everyone. Actually, a good link. Just read it. It's sojo.net. Okay. And that's Sojourners Magazine. And it's called
the
Where
magazine?
Did Our Ideas Originate? That's the title.
What's the magazine?
Where did our ideas of tale originate?
Where is the idea of what originates? You broke up.
Where did our ideas of hell originate?
Got it. Sorry about that. You're breaking up for a second. Okay, got it.
That's a very good link. I just read the whole article. Very good. Talks about how the Christian received their understanding of hell through the, like as I mentioned before, the Jewish and the Greek influence, you know. But check this out. I got a scary one for you guys. As many people
bring it on,
know,
baby.
I used to be Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, bring it on, baby.
Oh, okay, cool. When I was a Franciscan, I got to meet Father Benedict Rochelle. If anyone's Catholic out there, they probably know the name. He was the official psychologist that the church in New York State was sent to investigate demonic possession. So he was a doctor of psychology. His job, and he was a priest, his job was to study the person who's allegedly possessed by the devil, you know, or Satan, or demons, whatever. He told us 99% of the time they're psychological, okay? And he even mentioned some cases in which books hit them and objects were flying over the room, languages were spoken, but it wasn't demonic possession. So he kind of like...
What do you mean? Wait a minute. So he would get hit by flying objects. He would hear people speak another language, but it wasn't what... It wasn't anything paranormal?
Exactly. It was a mental illness. There's some forms that mental illness can be explained, and it looks demonic, you know? It looks demonic, but it's not. But he says it was 1% of the cases that he was sent to in demonic. So I was able to sit with him and some other people, and this is what scared me the most, okay? And it kind of like question my affiliation with the church. Ready for this? This is the very seed that was planted that said to me, I got to get out of here. Now, I respect anyone who's a Christian. It's your choice. You want to be a Christian? That's fine. It's what makes you happy, right? But for me, this scared the hell out of me and eventually got me closer to getting out. This is official Christian
teachings, all right, what I'm about to share, and this is what scared me. This is a disclaimer. I don't want to criticize Christians. That's not what I want to do. Just my experience.
No, we made that clear. We made that clear. We have no enemies, you know, and you want to be Christian, Catholic, you know, Jewish, whatever you're Muslim, whatever religion you are, you know, it works. We're all accepting. No one's downplaying it. It's just experiences and stories, you know. But we don't judge on who you are or, you know, what you like or what your religion is. But go ahead.
But this is what scared me. He was saying, he was telling us about demonic possession, what conditions, what, you know, so on. But this is what scared me the most. Ready for this? He said that the reason why people get possessed by demons or Satan, it's all the same, is because God allows it. And when he said that, he said it like, wow, man, this is the faith, you know? You can't question it. And I just got a cold chill, like, what kind of God allows people to get possessed? What kind of God, and later on asked this question, allows evil to exist? And that's when I realized, not my God. I got to get out of here. Because anyone that thinks like that, instantly flip on you. This is what I thought. This is the fear that I was carrying, you know? Like, oh, my God, who believes this? Not my God. So for a couple of years, I was frightened by that, the whole concept that God allows this evil to exist. You know what I mean? Or for a person to be tortured, you know, or killed. In many of these cases, these demonic cases, the person was killed, you know? Like, what God allows evil to exist? You know, thankfully, I had this professor. He was a priest, actually. He was a professor of metaphysics. And I told him what I just said right now. I said, Father, what kind of God allows evil or people to get possessed or tortured or whatever? You know what he said? This is his unofficial, his philosopher approach. He said, well, if evil does exist in the world, it's definitely not from God. It's from either a creature that's human or like human, but definitely not this world, not the spirit world. So he kind of gave me comfort in that, you know? But he definitely didn't teach that.
Makes sense.
He couldn't teach that. But you have to understand, if you really break it down, there's people who honestly believe that and, you know, worship that, that there's a God, this divine ultimate reality, allows evil to exist. Now, that's my question I want to ask people. What kind of God is that? For me, that's a scary God. If we live in the world or in the universe that there is a God that allows evil or allows pain and suffering, or even the existence of hell, then damn, I don't want to be part of this world. What do you got to think about that? It's pretty loaded, right?
Well, I think that it's too late because you are part of the world, so you got to deal with it. Whatever the truth is, we don't know. Whatever exists out there, we really don't know. But, I mean, you know, one of the things that I pose this question to people, anytime people talk about UFOs or paranormal, you get these people that call you a quack, or they judge you, and they say you're crazy, or, you know, they just can't understand. They don't say you're leveled and you're grounded. You know what I say to those people is that I find it amazing that they don't question that. I find it amazing that we're born and they just accept the world that we're given, and this is it. I mean, if you really break it down, I think those people are unlimited in their thinking and their creativity, because why wouldn't you question where we came from? Who are we? How did we get here? And we can't even get off this planet. What is this planet and what's beyond this planet? We know for sure that things exist. We know for sure metaphysics and science goes out the window once you go past this Earth. We know that for a fact. You know, that science can be broken down a certain way, But when it comes to our laws of science, they don't apply to the rest of, like, space when it's broken down. So how could you not accept that other paranormal things do exist in this world? You know, so that's just a whole other level of what you're saying, you know, to me, with God. You know, we all have the right to believe what we want. We all have the right to, you know, view the world how it is. And maybe we do create our own hell by our own thinking, you know, because maybe there's more to this world that we don't understand. You know, maybe if we thought more positive as a beings together, you know, mentally, maybe there's more, there'd be more peace in this world. Does that make sense? You know, maybe it's a collective thinking that as a species we should try to practice, and maybe that's what creates heaven or hell or more peace. You know, maybe we're part of God. We just don't know it. Maybe we are God, or, you know, there is a creator, which I'm sure there is. That's what I choose to believe. Maybe that's too deep, but go ahead. What about you, BB? What do you think?
Go ahead, Sana Cody.
No, I'm saying that's what I'm getting at, that, you know, it's all about our thoughts, our feelings, our perception, you know? And, you know, in the psychology world, there is psychotherapy. I'm sorry, not psychotherapy. Psychoanalysis, which is rooted in Sigmund Freud, you know, part of the therapy is asking the person, what's your image of God? And in most instances in this in this modality or therapy, what happens is the person will give the image of God, right? But it's really of themselves. But then
exactly.
So in that therapy, you know, self-identify, self-growth, so on.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I agree.
I do.
So it's like, you know, if you're kind of person that, you know, you had a horrible life, most likely, you know, your image of the world, or image of God maybe, will not be so cool. Or if you, what's that other? Or if you're very judgmental, a judgmental person, your view of God is a judging God, you know? So that's a whole different realm. But Lou, I just want to mention that you definitely did a good thing.
What's that?
Caught the carrot. You ate the carrot. When I said, well, I don't want to be part of this world, if that's the case. And you say, well, you have no choice, right? You're here. There's a lot of people, when they come face to face with this problem of evil, this problem of, you know, this paradox, they kill themselves. It's suicide, you know. They just lose control, you know. They despair. And that's why it's very delicate discussion on the whole sense of, you know, the devil, problem of evil, God, you know.
You know, it's very deep. You said that. I agree with you. I agree with you. And that's why I choose to believe that there is a higher being that's much wiser, stronger, and smarter than I am, that does care for me and mankind and this world, because there has to be. You know, there has to be something out there that created us, because we're not here for just, out of nowhere. We didn't just appear. And my own personal feelings, my own personal miracles that I have experienced in life tells me that there is a higher being and there is a purpose for each and every one of us. It's about us realizing it, and no matter how bad anything gets in life, because I don't care what you go through, no one can tell me I don't understand, because I do. I'm a human being, and I've been through hell and back myself on this plane, though, not spiritual. But no matter how bad it is, you have to keep trying to move forward, because for I don't care how many bad days you have, you're going to have 100 great ones, you know? So you just have to stick in there and fight it no matter what. And that's what I choose to believe. So if there is a hell, you know, there might be, but I know that I'm going to create my own heaven, you know, on this plane, and I'm going to work on the spiritual plane to continue that path. And I hope everyone else does too that listens. But go ahead. We're going on 8 o'clock. I don't know if you guys want to continue or if you think that, you know, if you guys want to end the show, it's totally up to you.
But all you said, you said you're going to open up the lines at 11 Eastern time. So.
Oh,
no,
I said I'll
open up the lines.
Whenever they like.
But
anyone call in?
Oh, yeah, but Creepy was going to say something.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say something?
Creepy? You going to say something?
What was I going to say? ¿Qué pasó? What
did
I say?
Yeah, I think Lou had asked you something.
Oh, yeah, no, I said I agreed.
Wait, what's causing all this? Wait a minute, that was getting spooky now. But hold on a second, let me see if I get the call in. I just lost the, you know, I keep losing the studio. You know what? Whenever we talk about hell, we talk about this, and studio goes wacky, man. What is that? Hold on, let me see if I get the
I don't think it's hell,
in.
Bro. I think it's you.
Where's that intern?
Is it Carrie? Oh, my God. You guys are crazy.
Yo,
you got one guy over here can't do the controls because he thinks it's possessed. Then you got another girl over here who thinks that she knows people that see the devil flipping burgers at fucking McDonald's. Oop, I didn't mean to curse. I didn't want to curse, but my bad.
I mean, hey.
But God.
That's what makes us the eclectic crew that we are.
And this is why I love you. I love you guys. Go ahead.
Caller from Truth and Consequences, New Mexico. Let's see. Again. Whoa, you're there.
Hello?
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 Hi, how are you?
New Mexico.
Can you hear us?
The afternoon. I need New Mexico air.
Are you feeling the heat of hell in New Mexico? I know it's hot. Can you hear me? I can see we lost.
Let me put them on
huh?
hold. I'm telling you, man. Crazy. This is crazy. I'm telling you, this is all good. Whenever we talk about the devil or evil or. Wait, hold on.
Is he still on the? Is he still there? Creepy. Are you
that
still
is
there?
What happened.
I am still.
Did we lose him? Lou, are you there? Lou, can you explain what's going on?
Okay, I just wrote the person on the chat to
you
come back
him?
On. I don't know. It was like some weird stuff.
It's not like the person was driving.
One. Hold on. Let me. Hello, sir. Are you there? Two from Consequences, New Mexico.
Hello? Hey, you there? How you doing? How's everything? Spooky Lou. Welcome. Did we lose him again? Hello?
I think...
Yeah, I guess if you can hear us, we can hear you. Hello? Hello? All right, Lou, I guess you got to let that one go because no one's speaking. What happened? Well, ask them to give you the question through chat or express what they wanted to say through chat because, I mean, you know, we couldn't hear anything. Tried it twice. Actually, we could hear. I just don't think they were speaking because I could hear the wind. Or maybe it wasn't coming through correctly. Oh, my God. I'm losing my mind. Creepy.
You don't know my name anymore?
No, I was trying to say spooky and creepy at the same time, and I got stuck. My brain is crazy.
Uh-huh.
Sporakia. That's why I was like, what? I was like, well, did you hear anything or no?
From the caller?
Yeah.
No. All I heard was what sounded like the wind rustling.
Yeah. I love New Mexico, by the way. I'll probably be out there in a few weeks. Not a few weeks, what am I saying? But not Montana. But I love New Mexico. New Mexico's Raton, New Mexico. I went out there, and it's good food, small town. It's right by Colorado. It's a beautiful place out there. So thank you for trying New Mexico.
I need to make my way down to New Mexico. I need to make my way down in that area, just in general. Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico, all of that. I need to make it happen.
Well, yeah. Aren't you guys going to come out here? We need to come and then go explore. And then so I can take you out. We'll go ghost hunting. We'll film it. And we'll post it, you know. And, I want to give my people a shout-out in New Mexico, especially my Navajos out there. They support strong the Unknown New Mexico page. With Roman, he runs it as well. So shout out to all the Navajos and Hopis out there. Mad respect, son. So, yeah, back to hell. Had to throw in my little New York swag in there, you know what I mean? Like, protect your neck, yo, skirt. But.
Oh, my goodness. You know, hey, y'all were talking about me earlier in the show. Goodness gracious.
What about you?
That's what I was saying. Y'all were poking fun at me.
Well, I'm confused. What?
Ay, nada, señor. You're tired.
Well, I don't know. Oh, yeah, I was just saying, I was letting people know that. I don't know, but I'm sure he'll be back. Letting people know that Creepy Steph is actually not creepy. She's actually very beautiful. So go on Facebook, give her a shout-out. Check out her green eyes. Give her props. Don't be scared. She's mad cool. She's down to earth. Blue, too. Blue's another very beautiful guy. He's real handsome. Good-looking dude. I date him.
What is this paranormal mingle?
Holler.
Paranormalmingle.com. Where the creeps and the geeks get together.
Show? There you go, Robin. Again, we lost you. Lee.
Hello?
Hello? Yeah.
Hello? Can you guys hear me?
Yo, yeah, who's this? Is this Will?
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Will, it's been a long time. I was wondering if you're gonna call in. How's everything? How you doing, bro?
Oh, man, I called last week and was listening in, and you guys weren't taking calls, and I was on the other line here, busting at the seams, wanting to get in so bad. But I was like, you know what? This week I'll get
enough.
In. Hopefully, be able to talk to the fans.
Yeah, well, sometimes you do. Like
guys,
I don't know. Go ahead.
Yo, I'm back, man. I got thrown out the studio.
Yeah, I figured. That's why I said I want props. Don't know how beautiful you are. Give you a call. Holler at San Antonio. Great looking guy. Telling you. Holler.
Yo, it's these crazy topics, bro. Spooky losers.
Yeah, that's why I called in, man. I was listening to you guys, and, you know, it's a great topic, you know what I mean? And I just wanted to, you know, call in and, you know, chime in on that just very quickly. I was raised in the Catholic Church. You know, I did my confirmation, did my communion, got the name, you know, the whole nine yards. And I don't know, I guess it was when I started asking questions and they started telling me, well, some things are just not meant to be known. I had to start putting a crooked eye to everything I was being taught. You know, I started studying other religions, you know, just to get into it and see what everything was. I decided, I think by the time I was 16, 17, that No, religion just had too many inconsistencies within itself. And I couldn't believe myself, something in me couldn't believe how, if my God is supposed to be all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-loving, he controls everything here, good and bad. I don't understand how to get to hell. I don't understand how to let his children go through such a thing or a mistake that the all-knowing already knows is going to happen. It's just like raising children. You know your child is only three. He does not know how to hold a full plate of food on his own. If he spills the plate, do you throw him into the room for the rest of the week? Do you tell him he's a bad kid? No. You know he's going to drop the plate. So as a parent, you pick it up, you keep moving. I don't understand why God cannot do this himself. If he gives us the power of free will, and if we decide to do something bad that is on our conscience, I don't believe it's on the devil because I don't believe in him. I believe in evil, yes, but I only believe that evil only appears here amongst us on this plane of existence because of us. It is all our own thinking. It is our own manifestation. So whenever something bad happens in life or, you know, you got this corona thing, you got the building in Miami, you got the people in Jerusalem and Palestine, Israel, all this fighting, this is all manifestation of humans, of humanity, of that one thing that we're not ready to accept to say that, hey, free will means I can do whatever I want. God knows I'm going to do it. He's not going to punish me for it because he's letting me do this.
So, Will, do you think that hell is a manifestation?
Yes, completely.
Okay.
I don't think it exists. Because if it doesn't, it contradicts God. He's not the all-loving man. Because if he loves everything, no matter what, unconditionally, there is no hell to be sent to. It makes no sense to me.
Okay. That makes sense.
I have a question. Let's break it up.
Hey, Will, if you can hear me, we can't hear you. Will, can you hear me?
Once again.
The demons got Lou and Will. Oh, you're back, Lou. I can hear you clearly now, but now we can't hear Will. Will, where'd you go?
Yeah, where did Will go?
Will,
if you can hear us, we can't hear you.
I got you. Yes, I can.
Oh, there you go.
There we go.
Loud and clear.
So Will, you have a question. I have a question. Have you personally know anyone that has experienced hell or told you like, hey man, you're wrong, like I died and came back and I saw, you know, I've been to hell, or have you ever had that kind of experience?
I've had people tell me that, and I told them that's just a manifestation of your own mind, which is subconsciousness, that things that were not done righteous. So you're feeling in yourself, or you're going through this plane of unconsciousness, that's where your mind is putting you. That's almost like your brain telling you, hey, here's a restart. You know what I mean? You kind of screwed up the first time. We're lucky to make it. Let's keep going. I don't think personally that there's a God up there taking notes like Santa Claus and marking off what you did wrong or you did right. I don't see that. That is, I think, the human condition yearning for something bigger than itself. Why can't we just accept we're all here? And that's it. We're organisms that have grown over time, and this is where we got. Then what's our purpose in life, Will? That's just what it is, to live. Me and you experiencing this conversation is the purpose of life. Us becoming a tribe and getting our history together is the purpose of life. Being able to teach one another to clear the mind and let go of what society has deemed us to have to follow. You have to follow religion. Because you're human, and that means there's something bigger than you. You have to understand that there's a hell, because if you do bad, that's where you're going to go. You have to understand if you murder someone, that, I mean, all of these things are drilled into us from day one. I am on a journey right now, a spiritual journey, to erase these things in my mind So I don't have to go on life with this backpack of dogma that every time I have a wrong thought, I'm going to end up in brimstone and fire. That to me is personally, and this is no disrespect to anyone's beliefs, that to me is just the mind searching for something bigger than self when we are all already a piece of God. We are already God. We have to stop. We have to start learning, like I said last week, to instead of looking from the ground up, like there's something bigger and better that's going to save us from what it is, and start looking from up down. We are already the gods that we're searching for and that we're praying to. We just haven't given it to ourselves yet. We haven't accepted the fact that everything that you see is what it is, a pure manifestation of one another. And that's how I get through everything that I do. If I have a bad decision or I made a bad choice, I don't blame it on the devil. That's a scapegoat. I made that choice. I know what the
repercussions
are.
Right, but we're not referencing the devil
anyway.
Right now. We're asking about hell. We're asking if hell, does hell exist? That's the question. So what we want to know is, do you personally believe that there is a hell? And if so, what does that hell look like to you in your perception? How do you perceive that hell to be?
If I was to make up and manifest a hell personally for me, and I was to go there would be no one there but me, because that's my hell. The last thing I want to do is to be alone or to die alone. So that's my personal.
That's scary.
You might have something different to you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It might be your hell might be seeing your loved ones get hurt every day. And there's nothing you can do to change the scenario. And every time you try, it fails. Your mind's perception of hell, because everybody has their own perception of what.
Right. So for you, what you believe hell is a physical manifestation of one. Will, you're breaking up again.
I got it.
Will, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Will?
Yes,
can you hear me? Okay, there you go.
You started
breaking up again, so we couldn't hear you. You were cutting in and out, and it started to sound pretty robotic. So basically, what I'm gathering from what you're saying is that for you, your interpretation of what a hell would be, if it exists, because you're implying that you feel that it doesn't exist, right?
Right.
Okay. So what I'm getting
if there is a God,
you feel
then it doesn't exist.
That, well, that's all personal opinion. It's not fact.
Correct.
Right. So... your personal opinion is that if a hell existed, it would be a physical manifestation of one's own self, reflective thoughts, feelings, emotions, and things of that nature, right?
Yes, 100%.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because I believe solely in manifestation and the fact of you can create your own life. If you want heaven here, you'll create it. If you think your life is hell, you'll create it. You know what I mean? And that all bases off of who you are inside. Somebody could personally
right,
ask
but
are you
who saying are that
you?
We're living hell on earth, or are you saying that hell itself in the afterlife doesn't exist?
I don't think in the afterlife it exists. I think we're on it now. I think this is the only place we could feel physical anything,
right.
pain,
that's,
emotion.
That's
you know,
similar
being
to how
it,
I had felt
here.
As well. Right.
Yeah,
no, I get it.
You know,
that's how I explained it earlier.
I wanted someone to hear from someone that actually believes that, because there are people that believe that this is hell, that we are living in hell at the moment, and the afterlife will be heaven, right?
I believe. I guess it's the next step in our soul's evolution.
Level.
We go through the physical plane, and then possibly when we move on, it's another existence. Nobody can tell. Well, I can hope, and the people can have faith in what they would hope it is, the heaven, the gates, and the angels and all that. Yeah, that sounds great. Everybody would love that. That's the easiest thing to grab onto. But if we actually stopped and thought about it for half a minute, what if there is no heaven, no hell, no God, or no Jesus? Would you still be the same person you are right now? And that's what I think it all has to boil down to after the hell conversation's done. It's down to who you are. Can you live the same life without clinging on to a Jesus or a God? And I think that's totally possible because I do it myself. I don't pray to a Jesus. I don't pray to a God. I pray to humanity. I pray to myself, the universe, the planets, you know what I mean, the people I meet every day. That's my prayer. If I can smile with you, that's my prayer. This conversation to me is prayer because we're experiencing what it is to be an individual, who we are. You don't know who you are unless you know who I am. And that's why, you know, for the hell thing, that's all, I think it's a personal thing. You got to ask yourself, do you believe that that's a place where you're going to go if you screw up? Then guess what? You'll manifest it and you will be there. If not, you know, I just, you know, I don't think it's fair. And that's, like I said, it's just think, it's just deception and just an opinion.
Got it. I mean,
Thank you for sharing that, Will.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me. It is deep.
Yeah, definitely. I have one more question.
If you guys want to dig deeper, and if you ever want to listen to it, the two main gurus that I listen to and that I adapt my lifestyle to are Alan Watts and Ram Dass. Those are the two people, if you guys ever want to dip into anything like that, that'll make you search your mind. It'll really test you and test your faith, test your belief system, and test your soul because it did mine, and it saved my life. I was on the verge of killing myself months ago. You know what I mean? And I'm being really personal with my family because I feel you guys are family. So I was almost done. I was like, you know, this life is finished. I've worked my life. I've worked hard. I've been honest. I played by the rules, and I still keep eating the cheap end of everything. Let me just get out. It'll be easier for my family. They can move on. So I got into those gentlemen, and I started teaching me how the mind perceives your life within yourself, and you've got to learn to control that. And that's another show, so we'll get deeper to that. But I'm sorry, guys.
No, that's cool. Thank you for sharing. You know, that's a powerful, you know, statement there that you made, and it's your feelings. So we appreciate that you're able to even talk about that publicly, you know. But I do have a question for you, you know. And, hey, if you're ever if you're ever in the mood, man, you know you can call one of us or anyone, and we'll always be there to talk about anything.
I've learned to do that.
But I do have another question. You said that people have approached you and they said that they have visited hell. Can you remember vividly what they described as what they experienced?
Well, okay, I can remember one specific person. I remember a friend of mine. This had to be a couple decades back. He got caught in the middle of gunfire, and he said he had gotten hit, and he had passed out. And he said, "Will, when I passed out, I woke up back in the car." And he goes, "I got out of the car. I was in the same exact spot. Nobody was there but me. And I went into the store to try to ask somebody for help. And there was a gentleman standing behind the counter looking at me with a look on his face as if he knew what I was going to ask him. So before I could open my mouth, he said, the gentleman already answered his question. And the gentleman said to him, he said, young man, you are in hell. And you are going to be here until you understand what type of person you are. He said when he woke up about 2 days later, you know, he had gotten hit with a bullet. I guess he got into a coma, whatever, this and that. He said not only did he wake up feeling as if he had to change his life, but he also feeling like as if he was really in hell because nothing there felt normal. Everything felt as if it was there to get him or to feel him. And I asked him, I was like, bro, but what about the devil? What about the fire? What about all this and that? And he said to me, it wasn't even about that. He goes, there was more fear hurting and burning in my soul than it was for me physically. Now, that's how I knew. I took that from him was like, see, your soul was hurting, bro, because you know whether you pulled the trigger or not, you drove the other gentleman to that shootout. You were there. Whether he hit the man he was aiming at or somebody else, you are an accomplice. And you were not right with that in yourself. So, yeah, it was time to change your lifestyle because you were perpetuating something you were not. So with that, I took maybe that's how I got to the perception of it's a self-mental thing. Your own, everybody suffers a different hell. But my question to you now, Lou, is how many people have came to you and said they've seen heaven and it all be the same thing?
Never. Never. I've never met anyone. No, me personally, did someone tell me that they visited hell or heaven? No, I've never met anyone that's told me that they've died. But I've heard secondhand stories. I have a brother, and he has half a brother, right? Yeah, he's like my brother, too, but he... the only story I ever had close to that is that he told me that he died. He literally did die, and he came back. You know, he's in a hospital now. And, you know, when they were talking to him, they asked him, they were just, no one knew what, you know, anything. He didn't say anything. But I don't know how it came up, but it came up that he said he wasn't scared to die. And I'm like, well, why not? He's like, well, I've already been to heaven. You know, he's like, I already saw what's waiting for me. And he's like, so I'm here now, you know, because they told me I have to come back. But when it's time for me to go, he's like, I'm fine because I saw what heaven looks like. And he's like, it was great. So he's like, I'm not scared to die. That's the most that I've personally heard from someone, you know, close to me. But other than that, I never really heard any stories of anyone coming back. You know, I know. You know, I have a nephew. He actually died and came back. But when he died, he lived. Thank God,
all right,
man. That was a scary time in my life. You know, he you know, but he never saw anything. At least not that he's ever shared with me. He never saw anything. He just just died and came back. And he was away with a revival.
Right, right.
But that's it. You know.
All right. Now let me tease, and I'm going to tease your mind with something really quickly. That's kind of adjacent, but still on the topic. Now, you see how people say, the gentleman said he died and came right back. You know, it was really more time. Now, if you believe in some people who believe in something called utero, now, if you've never heard of utero, it is when a person dies, and instead of going back to what we would call heaven or the other perception of existence, you come right back into birth, being reborn almost instantly. Okay? Now, with that being said, a lot of people experience minor cases of utero during death. And it's a decision within the last minute to be either reborn or to come back into your own body. Now, with that being said, being taught about this, they tell you in life you have seven different times in your life you can choose to exit. That means anytime you've ever come close to dying, car accident, falling, you know, almost being shot or something falling from a roof or whatever. And if it doesn't happen and you get away from that, supposedly, that sense have been one of your choices that you neglected not to take. Now, that could have been one of his choices he decided not to take. He could have died and went on, or he could have just, you know, been conscious for the whole entire time. That's also a personal choice. So, you know, again, that's why I asked you that something different, because if you can remember growing up as a child, you always hear people talking about heaven and hell, and you always hear their perception of what it looks like or what the Bible said it
Correct.
Is, or you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's all perception. It
Correct.
Backs down to, again, we cannot get away from that. So, you know, the whole question
Correct.
You're asking tonight, awesome show, but then there again, it's on the person's perception of what good and evil is to them.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's without a doubt, is the case, you know what I mean? That's why it's a question, do you believe in hell? But, yeah, you know what I recommend? Check out that recording. I don't know if you've been on my page, on the Spooky Luke page, but check out the recording that I